This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're with Wong Xiaoning, Julian Ng, and myself, Roshan Kanesan. In about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Rahizal Shah, political lecturer at UiTM Sabah, about the Kimanis by-election due in January on January 18th. In the meantime, if you have, we've got a poll running. Do you think the Banda Malaysia project will be good for Kuala Lumpur? This is on the back of the news that it looks like the project is on track. But in the meantime, let's talk about the DBKL budget. The DBKL has allocated a budget of roughly 3 billion ringgit for the development of the city centre.
Now, Kuala Lumpur City Hall Mayor Dato' Noor Hisham Ahmad Dahlan said that through the budget themed Cheerful City and Shared Prosperity, quite a nice tagline, 1.8 billion ringgit or 61% has been set aside for operating expenditure, while 1.1 billion or 39% of it is for development. Now, the 2020 budget is more or less actually in line with previous year's budgets.
Now, for some reaction to the KL budget 2020, we speak to Dato' M. Ali, Deputy Chairman of Save KL, a coalition of residences associations from Kuala Lumpur. Dato', welcome to the show. What are your thoughts on the DBKL budget?
DBKL must have a riot-centric budget and not blind development based on budget alone. The priority must be to provide what the riot needs in terms of facilities like for green spaces, open spaces, for recreational facilities. This is one of the reasons we have been highlighting for the whole stretch of Federal Hill, starting from the fringe of the old historical Jalan Abdullah stretch down through Federal Hill to Taman Perdana, to Taman Tugu, and right up to the Bank Negara. They should be protected as a green lung for the benefit of the Kuala Lumpur citizen.
And also, KL has a new mayor, Dato' Noor Hisham Ahmad Dahlan. What do you think about his leadership?
The Dato' Banda, Dato' Noor Hisham, has been a mayor who walks the talk. But the politicians must stop interfering the administration of DBKL. Whoever the mayor and his team must be given a free hand. Furthermore, we have been advocating for election of the mayor and councillors for DBKL, who will have to be answerable to the electorates and not the politicians. For the politicians normally and invariably have their personal or party agenda as a priority.
Thank you. That was Dato' M. Ali, Deputy Chairman of Save KL, a coalition of residences associations from Kuala Lumpur. Now for another take, we turn to Izzan Zainal Mokhtar, President of the Malaysian Institute of Planners. Welcome to the show, Izzan. How has the performance of DBKL fared since the new mayor has come aboard?
Judging from what has been released to the public and the plans that we have seen, I think they have done well in greening the environment, if you like. Taman Tugu is one. Taman Titi Wangsa is another. The incredible thing about Taman Tugu is, I think, the effort that they put in preserving or enhancing a green lung in Kuala Lumpur is wonderful. So I think that's what, as a public, that we can see. They have still issues in KL. There's still issues of traffic congestion, flooding, the lack of public transport. Has the mayor done well? We'll know by the end of the term, but I think there are many things visible that has been good, and there's many things visibly that needs improvement.
What are the most pressing issues in KL that DBKL actually needs to focus on then?
I think public transport. I would really think a good public transport would ease the congestion, would allow for better mobility of the public, would save costs actually. If you have an efficient public transport system, you can rely on people who leave their cars behind. We do have population coming outside of Kuala Lumpur into the city centre to work, so that would definitely improve the quality of life. I think the overall beautification of the city has been done well. But, I really think that if you can improve the public transport, you know, make the road less congested, the quality of life will improve, economy will improve.
And you think there are some challenges faced by DBKL in implementing some of the aspirations?
Okay, I definitely think DBKL has to do more public engagement. I don't think they sell themselves well. I think they need to, you know, those town hall sessions that they did for, that one the minister did for Kampung Baru. I think the mayor should also be a bit more involved with this kind of sessions, the town hall sessions. He should have his officers face the public, you know, they can answer and engage a range of questions. So I think, you know, once you are the third tier of government, if you like, you're the closest to the people, you know. So people want to know. In fact, they have a very good system that you can complain on the net and they will tell you whether actions have been taken. But, you know, they do need to engage the public more. And I think they're trying to, but citizens of Kuala Lumpur expect more, I think. And being the capital city, we definitely would like more engagement, you know.
Thank you for joining us on the line. That was Izzan Zainal Mokhtar, president of the Malaysian Institute of Planners there. Now, a lot to break down and a few things that I caught. One of them was the third vote, right? Essentially, bringing back the third vote for people of the cities to vote in their own mayors and have their voices heard in that regard.
Yeah, I think that would be a very positive step, right? Because the point is, if the public vote the mayor, then the mayor is not beholden to the politicians, but to the public instead, right? So he will act in the best interest of the KL citizens rather than, you know, have to account for his actions to the politician, which is one of the allegations that has been leveled at previous mayors.
Yeah, I think that Kuala Lumpur is a very important city because it has an outsized share of the population of Malaysia. And therefore, it really needs its own local management. Encouraging, though, is the fact that they have a 60-40 split between operating and development expenditure. So 40% of their budget goes to development. And this contrasts to the national budget of, I think that ratio is 80-20. Only 20% goes to operation. So I think they should strive further to shift more and more to development. I think that Izzan Zainal Mokhtar also mentioned that transportation is key. And I agree with that.
Yes, public transport is a key issue for us. And that's why that the third tier of government needs to be more publicly engaged, hear from us. Because as the people, as the rakyat, our current avenue is through our MPs and our aduns. But we should have influence over our elected officials in the mayor's office as well. Now, speaking about Kuala Lumpur and the development in this area, guess who's back? More accurately, guess what's back? Bandar Malaysia has apparently been revived.
Now, this is a 486-acre development at the site of the former Royal Malaysian Air Force Base in Jalan Sungai Besi. Now, this project was shelf-backed in 2017 May by the previous administration over payment disputes. Now, the project's gross development value is about 140 billion ringgit, while the parcel for the development, the land cost, is estimated at just over 12 billion ringgit.
So a signing ceremony was held yesterday between the protagonists, TRX City and IWHCREC, and witnessed by all the bigwigs. You can see it in the photo ops posted across all the newspapers this morning. TRX City is, of course, the wholly owned unit of the MOF, and IWHCREC is a JV between Iskandar Waterfront and China Railway Engineering Corp. Under the new terms of agreement, IWHCREC will take up 60% stake in Bandar Malaysia, which is the project's master developer.
Now, Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng said that the revived deal was an improvement over the original deal. And here's a clip of what he had to say about this.
Compared to the original agreement negotiated by the previous government, the new agreement negotiated by the current government contains improved terms as follows. Payment terms, originally in 7 years, now in 3 years. Deposit of 741 million ringgit, now with a 500 million ringgit advance payment. Park and recreational area, previously 48.6 acres, now 85 acres. Affordable homes, previously 5,000 units, now 10,000 units. Dividend from land sales, previously 60% to ICSB, 40% to TRX City Seri Berhad, owned by the government. Now 50-50 between ICSB and TRX City Seri Berhad, belonging to the government.
That was Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng on the changes to the deal over there. And we've got a poll running over on BFM radio, whether you're excited, basically, about this new, will it be good for Kuala Lumpur? Currently, we've got just under 80 votes. And the majority say, I don't know. And I think that's the probably the best answer, because neither do I. I don't know. That's where my vote is. But second place is a yes. 29% of people think that it will be good for Kuala Lumpur.
I think it'll be bordering between I don't know and a yes, because you must say that that land has been kind of idle for a while, right? It's the old Sungai Besi Airport, and I think it's a good idea to do something with it, especially using it as a form of transportation hub. And with that being revived, now the HSR is also being revived. It would bring a lot of economic development to those areas. But I guess the I don't knows come in because people need transparency as how this is going to be managed. And I think the finance minister has taken the first step in revealing some of these improved tweaks to the entire project.
Well, the original plan, when you look at it back in 2017, was for this Bandar Malaysia to also be the new transportation hub for Kuala Lumpur. So it was to contain the HSR, it was supposed to contain the KTM, ECRL, and also be an MRT line. Because I think in Malaysia, in KL, one of the complaints is that the transportation is not necessarily all in one place, right? So for you to commute, you have to change stations. And so there should be a new center of transportation. And this was supposed to function as that. However, there are still questions as to when you think about it, because it still will contain offices, public parks and affordable housing. I think the public parks and affordable housing, there's no issue, but it's the offices that might remain a problem, because we do know that there is still overhang. So how the project will be run and the release of units and the, you know, that's also important.
I'm also wondering how, when Bandar Malaysia comes to be, how that changes the dynamic of Kuala Lumpur, whether we'll see more offices and more of the where Kuala Lumpur's, downtown Kuala Lumpur's importance will be shifted over.
It has already been the case. You can already see the de-urbanization of KL. There are a lot more offices in the fringes, which is including, you know, places like Bangsa South, Petaling Jaya. It's also, that's part of the KL evolving as a city.
You've got to address the oversupply as well. What with Kampung Bahru also coming up, right?
Yeah, and the other question is, will we see the HSR revival come into play as well? Up next, we'll be speaking to Professor Sunny Low, a political analyst in Hong Kong, on the fortunes and future of Macau as Asia's next financial hub. That's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.